Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
But y'all can be seated, and I just want to ask you a quick question. Are you ready for an open door in 2024? This is the first Sunday of the new year, and you have found yourself in the right place. And God brought me here today on an intended assignment. So is it okay if we pray for just one moment? Father God, I just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, I present my body a living sacrifice unto you. I ask you to think through my mind, to speak through my vocal cords. I ask for none of me and all of you. God, I believe you have me here on divine assignment, that it's not an accident that I am here and speaking on this particular weekend to these people. God, I ask you to open up our hearts to receive the seeds that you would plant in us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on. Jesus is good. And I just wanted to warn you, I needed to pray that prayer. And one of the reasons why is I picked out my outfit I was going to wear because, honestly, you guys are a little bit intimidating before the holidays. And what I did not realize is how much I would eat over the holidays. And so as I put this outfit on and I was walking through the house, I'm like, we live in the country, but I'm like, where is that frog in our house? I cannot find it. And I realized when I walk, it goes, rrr. So if this message is interrupted by a frog, it is not the voice of the Lord. It is my pants. I apologize in advance, and I hope it is not a distraction to the dream that God's planning on planting in your heart, because I am here for one particular purpose today, and that is if you walked in defeated, that you walk out with a dream. If you walked in depressed, you walk out with a dream. If you walked in downtrodden, you walked out with a dream. And if you walked in doing okay, you're walking out with a dream. I believe God wants to increase the vision that is on the inside of you, that you know the plans that he has for you. They are good and not for evil, to bring you to an expected end. God said, I've got no room for small plans because I'm a big God. And I just want to know, are you ready for your mind to be stretched today? Because you know, a mind stretched will never return to its original size. It's kind of like my pants. So if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. The Lord wants to get us to where we're called to go, even more than we want to get to where we're called to go. So whatever dream is on the inside of your heart, you're not fighting for it by yourself. So the scripture I want to start with today is in Genesis 15, and it's Genesis 15, verse 1. And it's Abram and Sarah. This guy doesn't even have the name Abraham yet, but it's the same guy. Abraham means father of many nations, and he was still just Abram. He wasn't even that far in his vision yet, and God's trying to encourage him. And so Abram's been walking through some things, and God says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Now check this out. It came in a certain way. It came, look at the screens, it came in a vision. I believe God's trying to sharpen your vision, create your vision, help you develop a vision. I wrote a book on goals that's in The Source and on Amazon and all over the world. Some of the top leaders. Actually, I'm working with the Miss America organization, and every state winner, Miss New York, Miss California, Miss Tennessee, Miss Missouri, Miss Florida, every person that has won is getting a copy of the Goal Getters book because they believe it. Come on, y'all, because it's faith-based. It proclaims the name of Jesus. Y'all, we're sneaking Jesus in here. So Ferguson, I want you to hear this. So God has this vision for you, right? And he needs you to see it. He needs it to be pushed down. He needs it to be on the inside of you. So he says, do not be afraid, Abram, because sometimes when God shows us stuff, we're like, Jesus said, what? He said, don't be afraid. I am your shield, meaning I got your backside. I am your exceedingly great reward. That means I've gone out in front of you. I've made a plan for you. I've made a way for you. I've made a way where there is no way. I've planted these things. All you have to do is walk it out. Everybody say, walk it out. So vision is required to get where you want to go. And the reason he's telling Abram these things is because Abram and his wife Sarah, they old, y'all. And like old in my word, old, you don't say that word. It is a cuss word. Like you can use other words and get away with it in my house. You say old, I'm going to be like, hey, we don't use that language in this house. You can be wiser, more mature, grown up, but you ain't old. Y'all, they was old. Like, they're like 90 years old, old. They're like old. And they've never had a baby. And so Abram's heart is breaking about him and Sarah, and they've never had a baby. And God says, I need to get you a vision because I told you you're going to be the father of many nations. If God hasn't given you a vision of something that you can't conceive in your life, I want to ask you, are you really walking by faith and not by sight? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So unless your vision, doctor, is bigger than you can ask, think, or imagine, we're not really depending on God. We're depending on us. So I'm here today to stretch your faith for you to get to believe things that you didn't believe when you walked in the door. Because God will always take you somewhere that you don't think you can go. So when I was in high school, I got pregnant, y'all. I was a pregnant, unwed mother. Don't worry, your spiritual life is going to be okay. Pastor David will be back next week. And I got pregnant so easy that, like, all a boy had to do, ha-pa-choo, like a boy sneezed and I got pregnant. It was like that easy. Like, wow, okay, well, that's how we do it. I got pregnant. I got bigger clothes. I was nauseous like 2 whole days. I was a little bit tired. No big deal. Pregnancy, it's such a dream. Like, no big deal. Your belly just gets fat. I went to the hospital, had a baby, no complications, came home, and within 2 weeks, I was back in my jeans. That is what I thought having a baby was. Yeah, all the women laugh because they're like, that ain't even real. That ain't even real. So I brought a picture of me and Pastor Austin. That is me in high school. I don't know what color that hair is supposed to be. I think I was trying for blonde, but I think I got peroxide blonde. Because your girl was a single mama in high school. I was balling on a budget. Right? But I was thin. And I thought, okay, this pregnancy thing is easy. So then I get married. We're on the 5-year plan. We're going to be married for 5 years. We're going to enjoy each other. We're going to have a good time. And then we decide after 5 years, we're going to have a baby. So, I mean, I'm like, okay, David, sneeze, and I got you. Okay, I should be pregnant, right? Well, it turns out instead of getting pregnant, we found out I had cervical cancer. And you're not allowed to get pregnant while you're fighting the cervical cancer journey. And on top of that, they tell me some of the procedures that we might have to do in this journey, they could prevent you from being able to carry a baby. So I was like, hold up. What are you even talking about? Because Pastor David had already told me, here's the deal, honey. You've already got a boy. We're having one child. So if you want a girl, you better start praying. Because if you get a boy, we're not going to do it again. I'm having one baby. So I didn't wait to start believing God when we decided to get pregnant. We were breeding horses at the time. So, because we weren't senior pastors of the church, we were breeding horses. So I was believing God over my horses. And I was like, God, I'm praying. I'm laying hands on my horse. I'm laying hands on my horses. My horses are falling out. It's awesome. I'm like, God, in the name of Jesus, this horse is having a girl baby. We'd have a girl baby. Father God, I believe we're having a girl baby. Have a girl baby. The horse having a girl baby. I'm like, I'm ready, baby. I am your thoroughbred. Just, you know, let's have a baby and it's going to be a girl. Instead, I have cervical cancer. You know, sometimes it feels like you're prepping for your dream, but things just aren't working out. So I walked through the cervical cancer, and once we got through that, they told me, hey, go ahead and try and have a baby. And so I'm like, okay, here we go. Sneeze again, baby. And I'm going to be pregnant. Except for it didn't happen the first month or the second month or the third month or the fourth month or the fifth month. And I'm not trying to compare my journey to yours if you've had a years-long fertility journey because mine was only months long. But after the delay of like 18 months with the cervical cancer situation, it felt like a years-long journey as months and months and months went by. And I thought getting pregnant was so easy for me because, like, it really took nothing for me to get pregnant. And now all of a sudden, I can't get pregnant. And I felt like I could relate a little bit with Abram and Sarah. You see, because Abram, when God is talking to him, God has to encourage him because Abram's having thoughts like, I mean, the Bible doesn't say this in verse 2, but in my head, you can put verse 2 what it actually says up there, but in my head, here's the way it goes. Abram's like, yo, God, look, we got to quit with this dream thing because, like, Sarah keeps going to Walgreens every single month and spending like $100 on pregnancy tests, and she keeps taking like 10 of them every month just waiting for one of them to come up with a plus sign, but it's always a negative sign, and it's negative, and then it makes her negative, and then she gets depressed, and then she cries, and then it's terrible, and it takes us about 3 weeks to pull ourselves up off the floor, and about that time, it starts all over again. God, when do we get off this wheel of disappointment? If you're taking notes, you can write down what you think is your disappointment could really be your divine appointment.
Come on. That's right.
Did you ever think about the fact that it can't be a miracle if it's easy?
Yeah.
Nobody takes note if we do it in our own strength. God doesn't get any glory if we do it by ourselves. No, we need to not be able to do it in our own strength. So we have to be able to depend on God, Ferguson Fluorescent. So that thing that you're believing for, just because it looks like it's disappointed you time and time again, the person who told you that it's never going to happen is not God. The person who told you it's never going to happen is the enemy, because he is a liar, liar, pants on fire. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls him the father of lies. Anything he says, you can just reverse it. And that's the truth, because he's incapable of telling you the promises of God are coming true in your life. I don't know who the devil's been lying to, but I wish they would give him a shout of praise right now, because God is here to say he's a liar and my word is true. Baby, it's not a loss, it's a lesson. Don't be afraid to start over. No, baby, you're not starting from scratch. Oh, it's all over. We got to start from scratch. No, you're starting from experience. I knew what it was like to be pregnant. I can remember that in my head. I'm starting from experience. It might not happen the same way the second time, but you're starting from experience. But you have to get a vision. Everybody say, get a vision. If you want to be it, you have to see it. Clarity of vision brings clarity of life. So in verse 5, God's like, okay, Abram, we got to do something about your vision. He said, I need you to get outside of your tent. So you see, the problem was Abraham was in a tent, and every time he looked up, he saw the same fabric. Every time we walk by sight and not by faith, we look into life and we see the same situation over and over again. And the ceiling of the tent is really our ceiling of our limiting beliefs. We have to get outside of what is limiting us and start looking up at God. So God tells him, hey, I want you to gaze up in the night sky, and I want you to go ahead and put that scripture up. I want you to try and count the stars, because your seed is going to be as numerous as the stars. And I was like, okay, God, I want to know how many stars there are. So I start Googling, right? And in Google, it tells me, current calculations say there are, I didn't even know it was a number, septillion stars. Like, how much is a septillion? I have to Google that. It is 10 to the 24th power. It is a 10 with 24 zeros on the back side of it. I'm like, God, okay, let's write a septillion dollar check, Jesus. I can feel that 24 zero anointing, you know? Septillion stars. They said, but from Earth, you can only see like 5,000 of them. And the Earth is round, so like from your place on Earth, you can only see like maybe 2,500 of them. I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? Even when God tells you to go outside and count the stars, we go outside and we think, there's the Big Dipper, there's the Little Dipper, there's Orion's Belt, there's 2,500 stars, I counted them all. And God's like, no, baby, that's all you can see. Let me tell you what I can see. Because from where you're at, there's 2,500 stars, but from the Earth, there's 5,000 stars. Not just from the Earth. In the universe, they counted septillion stars, but the scientists can't even see everything God has created. God's dream for you is so big. Even when you start getting a vision for it, because God is asking you to get a crazy vision. Are you willing to do an exercise with me? Can I work with you on something? Will you guys work with me? Okay, so I want everybody to close your eyes. I want to see what your vision is like. And not the vision of your eyes. I want to see what the vision of your remembrance, your memory is like. Close your eyes and picture the front of your house. Can you see the front of your house, yes or no? Can you see what color it is? Can you see the color of the roof? Can you see the scraggly landscaping in winter, the nice landscaping in Florida? Can you see that brown patch in your grass that is driving you crazy? Yeah. Can you see the little light on the front? So go ahead and open your eyes. So you've seen it before, so you can close your eyes and see it again. So I just moved into my house a couple of weeks ago, or actually a couple months ago now. And so yesterday during the snow, I took a picture off of my back porch, and they're going to put it up. It's behind me, right? I can't see it. But God, I'm going to go ahead and close my eyes. And even though this is a newer vision to me, I can tell you that there's an oak tree that's all gnarly on the right side, and there's an evergreen, it's kind of lower, and it's green over on the left. And if you look way down in the valley, you can see a river. And on the other side of the river is this field, but that day it was covered white with snow, and behind that is a road. And over here on the road, there's this ledge like this that's kind of stair-stepped out because it was carved out, because that's what they do on Missouri roads. Farther to the left of that, there's these hills, kind of like the rolling hills of Tennessee. I can see it in my head. Did I see it so much that you can see it too? Did I describe it okay? You got to be able to see the vision. So let me ask you, if I asked you to close your eyes and see the vision of the future that God has for your life? Could you articulate it that way? Can you see it that clear? Can you see you running the vision? Can you see yourself running the business? Can you see yourself healthy and whole? Can you see the marriage working? Can you see yourself old and gray with grandbabies all around you? Can you see yourself living in that house? Can you see yourself driving that car? Can you see yourself writing that kind of check and tithing and being generous? Can you see yourself leading that organization? Can you see it? It takes clarity of vision. How do you get clarity of vision? One, you got to pray. You got to learn, according to Ephesians, to open the eyes of your understanding. And the thing is, you got to close your natural eyes a lot of times so you can open your supernatural eyes. That's why we close our eyes in prayer, because you got to watch a lion vision, because a lion vision has power in the brain. If you close your eyes and start envisioning all the fights and what it's going to be when it looks like when they leave and what it's going to be like when you get evicted, the problem is your brain is going to start believing it and moving towards it. And that's not what God called you to. That's a lion vision. We got to close our eyes and on purpose. Everybody say on purpose. We got to on purpose see what God has called us to. And how do you get clarity of vision? Well, guys, we're starting a 21-day fast at Faith Church. It starts tomorrow. And you might be thinking, I don't really know what a fast is. Let me help you. 21 days of prayer and fasting. Number one, don't get all freaked out about 21 days of prayer. If you don't pray every day right now or don't know how, let me not ask you to do 21 minutes. Let me ask you to do 5. The brain gets really scared when we start making big chunks, so just make a little chunk. Just commit. I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray or read my Bible or read a devotional for 5 minutes. And then if you find yourself there for 6, 7, 10, or 15, that's amazing. But just commit to 5. Who will do 5 minutes of prayer with me for 21 days? Say amen. Okay, we're going to do at least 5 minutes of prayer. That's good. Just five. Just start there. And then fasting. That's giving up the things that your body really likes to do. Like if you're a gamer, if you're PS5, if you're a Nintendo, give that up. If you're Nintendo, or if you're a Netflix or Prime Video binger and you got your Paramount or whatever your binge is, maybe you set that aside for 21 days. If you need your coffee in the morning, come on, Jesus. And they can start talking once your cup is empty. Maybe that's what we give up for the fast. If you like your sugar at night before you go to bed, maybe that's what we give up. But for 21 days, we give something up. And I'll tell you what, for the first couple of days, don't listen to what you hear, because what you will hear is, I am hungry. Feed me. I want my cake. Do it right now. You are out of the will of God. Your body's going to scream. But after a couple of days, your body will settle down and you'll start hearing the voice of the Lord. Everybody say clarity of vision. And so Abraham had such clarity of vision. God tells him to go out. He tells him to look at the sky. He looks at it. And in verse 6, it said, and Abraham trusted every word Yahweh had spoken. And because of Abraham's faith, because of Abram's vision, Yahweh credited it to him as righteousness. You know, I didn't think that was that big a deal until I really started paying attention to what was happening. Because as I was reading, it's like he credited it to him as righteousness. So God says, hey, Abram, here's what we're going to do. You believe me so much. We're going to do a sacrifice. Go get a heifer. Go get a cow. Find a cow. I want you to kill it, sacrifice it, do all the ceremonial sacrifice. It takes hours. He does all of that. And he says, and I'm going to give you a baby. And he does all of that. And it says, and then night fell. I'm like, hold up, Jesus. I thought he went out and saw the stars. So if he does all this stuff, how does night fall after all of that? So I started looking it up in the commentary. I started checking the facts. And y'all, when Abram went out of the tent, there were no stars in the sky because it was daytime. So Abram walks out of a ceiling of limiting beliefs and look up to what God tells him to see stars. And he sees blue. He sees a sun. And he sees clouds. And God's asking him, do you see the stars as numerous as they are in the sky? And those are the children I'm going to give you. He looks up at blue skies and he says, going to have to get out of my natural eyes. I'm going to have to get in my supernatural eyes. And if God tells me there's stars in the sky, I have stepped out of this tent many times at night and I've looked at the sky and I can see that night sky just like you could see your house. And I can see Orion's belt and I can see the Little Dipper and I can see the Big Dipper and I'm counting those stars and I don't see them with my natural eyes, but I say, yes, God, I see it. And he saw it so much, God said, I am impressed with you. Y'all, I might be asking you to see a vision today that you think is crazy because it's so fuzzy. I'm asking you to close your natural eyes and focus in on what God is showing you, because God has you here on purpose today. Are you the person that I'm talking to? Your dream, you started doubting it. Your God, you started lowering his ability. You started thinking, I can't do it, so God can't do it. I can't have a baby, so God can't give me one. I haven't gotten healed, so my doctor is obviously better than the great physician. My doctor is obviously better than Jehovah Rapha, my healer. My God, my doctor is obviously better than Jehovah Jireh, my provider. No, God is big. God is faithful. God is able. He is a God of miracles. He is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for one person, he will do for you. And I was sent here on divine assignment, a divine appointment, to tell you that your disappointment is over. It's 24, the year of the open door. You got to put your hand on the handle and turn that knob. The door's not going to open itself. You're going to have to walk through it. Somebody who's with me. Yes. Amen. Don't let what you see make you forget what God said. Stop seeing in the natural. You got to get a vision. Can I tell you a story about another guy? So when I was talking about Abraham in the tent, it made me think of Paul the tent maker. Right? Paul had this other name. He was Saul. And you know somebody's bad when they change their name on Facebook, right? They got a history. So he's so bad, he changes his name from Saul to Paul, but it catches up with him. And they want to prosecute him and kill him for the same reason he was killing everybody else. And so there was this something on the inside of him that we would call coincidence, or I just knew. We would call it maybe mother's intuition. That's not what it is. That's called the Holy Spirit. He has a name. And matter of fact, in 1 John it says, I have an unction of the Holy One, and I know all things. And so he had this unction of the Holy One, and he knew all things, and he knew, I need to ask for an appointment with Caesar. He said, I am Roman. You cannot try me in this court. I need an audience with Caesar. That's like saying, I need an audience with the president of the United States. Like, y'all are convicting me of felon. I'm going to go need to see Biden today. They'd be like, psh, yeah, fat chance. But no, he says, I need an audience with Caesar. So he goes to one king, goes to another king. They said, that's sure enough. This guy is holding to this vision, and we have to send him to see Caesar. Caesar. He was probably having a seizure trying to get to Caesar. I don't know. Need to go see Caesar. So the way to go see Caesar is he had to get on this boat and sail for weeks. Y'all, this is not a cruise liner. This is a wooden boat built in Bible times. It is rickety. It is rackety. It is made with rusty nails, and it is on the sea. And they were on the sea, and what happened was, and I always love a story that starts with, well, what happened was, what happened was is this big hurricane comes, and it starts blowing the boat so hard, the boat literally starts to come apart while they're on it. And Paul, who's not in the luxury cabins, he's not even a guest on the boat, he's not on staff at the boat, he's the prisoner, and the prisoners are in the bottom of the boat with the oars, and they're rowing, and they're pulling, and they're trying to keep the boat upright. And the Lord gives him a vision of seeing himself in the court with Caesar. And Paul said, if God gave me this vision, this boat's not going down. But they're throwing over the food, and they're throwing over the provisions. So he's like, I got to get an audience with the captain. And he said, I know I'm a prisoner on this boat, but y'all are going to have to let me talk to the captain. I know that we're going to be saved. Because of his vision, everybody say vision. Because of his vision, they gave him an audience with the captain. And he said, here's the deal. I know that God called me and gave me a vision that I'm supposed to be with Caesar. If I'm supposed to be with Caesar, this boat is not going to go down. We can't die on this boat because we don't have food. Don't throw the stuff overboard and keep rowing and keep heading toward the shore, because I'm here to tell you I am destined to go be with Caesar. And you strangers, all you people, if I'm going to be safe, you're going to be safe. What I'm telling you is the vision that you have isn't just for you. God's going to save other people, other strangers, other people in your family, other people in your church, other people at your work, because of the vision God has given you. When you stay true to the vision, he's going to save the people around you because they're with you. Can I get a good amen? It's not just about you, baby. So they head for a sandy shore. They're in a boat. All there is rocks and cliffs. They see a sandy shore, and Paul says, run the boat aground there. In other words, they have a shipwreck. The thing about being human is a lot of times when God gives us a vision or an idea, we see the finish line, We see the destination, and it's all about the destination. I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when, I'll be happy when. And God's like, it's so not about the destination, it's about the journey. And sometimes the journey has things on it that look like a shipwreck. But I'm here to tell you, your shipwreck isn't a shipwreck, your shipwreck is a setup. Yeah. And what looks like a disappointment is a divine appointment. God says, what looks like pain, I'm going to bring purpose out of it. So it looked like a real pain that they were in the shipwreck, but it brought them to an island called Malta. And so they got up on the island. And here's the thing. Sometimes when things are bad, we're like, oh, no, I'm out of the will of God. Oh, no, maybe you're not out of the will of God. Maybe you're facing the devil head on. Because when you're running with the devil, he's not too worried about you. But when you turn around and run the other way, he might want to try and stop you. So he reaches in to put a piece of wood on the fire, and a poisonous snake bites him on the hand. If you want a bad day gone worse, you got a shipwreck and a snake bite in the same day. So they're waiting for him to die, and they're like, sir, you are cursed. You aren't what people tell you you are. You aren't what they say about you on social media. They aren't what they say about you at the water cooler at work, and you aren't what your parents say, and you aren't what your spouse say, and you're not what your kids say when they're mad at you on a bad day. I'm here to tell you, you are who God says you are. You are a child of the Most High King, and that doesn't change even on your worst day. And watch God use a reverse for a promotion. He says, everybody thinks you're going to die, but watch what I do. And when he doesn't die, they said, oh my gosh, he's not cursed, he's a king. He's a God. And he said, no, I'm not a God, but I know the God. And the Roman governor of the entire island, Publius, said, my father is sick. Would the God who healed you, would he heal my father? Paul said, let me pray for him. He goes and prays for him, and the father gets healed. And then everybody freaks out. I mean, if you see a sick dude and everybody starts getting healed right in front of you, if you're sick, you're about to run up front. Can I get an amen? They start bringing him everybody on the island who's sick. Paul prays for them all, and they all get healed. You guys, no shipwreck, no snake bite, no island of healed people. You see, we're about the destination. And God, he's about the journey. So let me ask you, what's the detour on your journey? What didn't you see coming? What didn't you see God doing? And you're getting a little bit depressed, right? No. I'm here to remind you, God has a vision for you. God has a vision just like he did for Abram. God has a vision just like he did for me. So I left you with a miscarriage, right? So I had a miscarriage. It was the month of November. It was 3 months later I got pregnant. It was February. Now, I couldn't have had the baby that I got pregnant with in November and have a baby that I got pregnant with in February. It doesn't work. So if I hadn't have had the miscarriage, Ashton Crank, my 20-year-old blonde-haired, beautiful worship leader who spends her life pouring it out for Jesus, who's faithful to get up. I never have to get her up for Sunday morning to come be here at 6 in the morning and rehearse. No, she gets up on her own. I would have never had that child. We can't be sorry about what we lost because God said, you know, it's not a loss, it's a lesson. I'm here to let you know I'm a big God, and I can take your reverse and make it a promotion. I can take your pain and make it a purpose. I can take your problem and make it a promise. He's like, I just need you to trust me. It looks like a journey. It looks like a shipwreck. It looks like a snake bite, but whatever your test was, I want to make it a testimony, and whatever your mess was, I want to make it a message, but I need you on board to start seeing what I see and not just see what you see. He's like, I want to give Abram a baby. I want to make him a father of many nations. I want to take Paul to see Caesar. And he wants to take you to your dream. But you can never make it to a dream that you can't see. So are you willing to see your dream? You know, it's so important. Why do we need to close our eyes when we pray? Because over the holidays, I was eating stupid. I was just way out of my zone of where I usually am. I wasn't working out at all. I was sleeping a lot. I watched a movie. They cussed too much. I didn't get up and walk out. I was feeling convicted. I just knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be. You ever been there? I was like, my flesh is too just being fleshy. And so I got in my room and I started closing my eyes and I was telling Jesus, God, God, I don't want to put more on you. Yeah, I know you already knew what you died for on the cross for me, but I don't want to add stupid stuff, you know? I'm just sorry, God. And as I'm repenting, I just saw myself in the throne room of God, and I open my eyes and I see he's clothed me in white, like righteousness. It's like a white t-shirt, a white leggings, and white Uggs. Who knew there were Uggs in heaven? I didn't know. But I knew when I looked down and I saw myself clothed in white, it was like more than I could bear. And I just got down on my knees in the feet of Jesus, and I just bowed down head first in front of him. And I just started worshiping him and thanking him for being so good to me and being wonderful to me. And even though I keep screwing up, he keeps being good. And it seems like the worse I get, the better he gets. And I was just thanking him for just having that grace in his heart, because God doesn't hold your repented sin against you. He forgets about it. He forgives and forgets. He forgives and puts you back on your path. And I'm like, God, thank you, God, for your forgiveness. Thank you, God, for forgetting. And he has me open my eyes and I look, and I'm not in leggings and a t-shirt, but I'm in this like beautiful, long, flowing, satin and sequin beaded gown that was amazing in couture. And he told me, he said, never think that my righteousness is so little that it would be leggings and t-shirts. My righteousness is beautiful, and my righteousness is glorious, and my righteousness is shiny, and my righteousness is priceless. And that's what I give you when you come to me. I don't give you a little bit, I give you a lot, because I'm a big and a faithful, an abundant God. And if I'm gonna come to you, and I'm gonna lead you through it, I'm gonna lead you through it, I'm gonna get you through it, I'm gonna work with you, and I'm not gonna leave you here. Come on, sing it, Christina. Pastor Brent.
I believe, and I believe you'll lead me to it. I believe you'll get me through it.
Worship with us.
I believe that you will do it right now. If something has to break, I believe you'll lead me to it. And I believe you'll get me through it. I believe that you will do it right now. If something has to break, something has to break.
I just pray that you break chains, break limiting beliefs, break paths. God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. God, give us a compassion and an empathy that we weren't able to conceive of before. God, give us a vision of you that we couldn't see before. How faithful and how gracious you are, how big you are. God, take the limiting belief off of our brain of how big you are. And that you want to use someone like us. You brought them here in the sound of my voice, not coincidentally, but intentionally. And God, I pray right now that the seeds that you have already planted on the inside of them, those dream seeds, that those dreams are planted, they are growing. And God, you are watering us on Tuesday nights in crazy ways with Holy Ghost outpourings, God. And you are watering those seeds. And God, as we just are faithful to see what you'd have us to see, help us to see what you'd have us to see. And I decree and declare that in 24, that locked door is unlocking and it is opening. And we are taking a step and we can see ourselves walking in it, through it, and to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you believe it, would you give God a good amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your word.